Again, thank you for joining us today, this afternoon or this morning if you're on the West Coast. We are happy to announce the catalog launch, the competition launch for Fulbright U.S. Scholar Award for the 2021-2022 academic year. My name is Michelle Belorci, and I'm an outreach and recruitment specialist based at IIE's Washington, D.C. office, and I'm joined by several of my colleagues here who will be introducing themselves.
Thank you, Michelle. Hi, everyone. My name is Aphrodita Krasnichi. I'm the Outreach and Recruitment Officer based in New York City.
My name is Carlene Velez, and I am the Outreach and Recruitment Specialist based in Washington, D.C.
Hello, my name is Kimberly Williams. I am the Outreach and Recruitment Officer based in the D.C. office.
Great. So we will be spending the next hour going over the new awards and highlights that we have for this competition. We will be taking questions towards the end, so if you have any questions that come up, please do chat them in into the question box, and we'll be taking those. And so the overview today is a little brief background of what the Fulbright program is and the mission, and then we're going to take you on a trip around the world, focusing region by region on what awards are new or different or anything that we'd like to highlight for this particular competition. We'll also have the opportunity to show you the new awards catalog as well as the website, and again, take any questions you have towards the end. So we really want to do keep some a good chunk of time open for questions, so please do have those ready for us.
I'd like to take some time to discuss our mission and history. Established in 1946 by Congress, the Fulbright program is an international exchange program in partnership with 160 countries, offers opportunities for faculty, administrators, artists, journalists, and other professionals to study, teach, or conduct research abroad. The advancement of our mission of fostering mutual understanding between nations, advancing knowledge across communities, and improving lives around the world is the heart of Fulbright. The program is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State with funding and support from Fulbright U.S. commissions and embassies overseas, in addition to foreign governments. The Fulbright Scholar Program is administered by IIE. Diversity and inclusion is at the forefront of our mission. Opportunities are open to people regardless of their race, color, national origin, sex, age, religion, geographic location, socioeconomic status, disability, sexual orientation, or gender identity. We are actively recruiting a diverse pool of applicants for the Fulbright program from a variety of institutions to include minority-serving community colleges, and institutions in rural settings. We encourage all people to consider Fulbright. Fulbright is accessible because we offer a large number of awards every year. As you can see, the program funds over 8,000 awards annually, and approximately 390,000 Fulbrighters have participated in the program since its inception in 1946. Fulbright allows for a wide variety of activities depending on the strengths and preferences of the applicants. As you can see, these activities include teaching and or research, postdoc, and administrator seminars. I'd like to point out that this particular distribution that you are viewing changes from year to year because many awards allow you to choose your preferred activity. In addition, activity preferences can change year by year.
Thank you, Kimberly. So my name is Aphrodita Krasnichi, and I would like to talk to you about the eligibility of the becoming a Fulbright U.S. Scholar. So first thing first, U.S. citizens are eligible to apply for a Fulbright program because remember this is about serving as cultural ambassador of the United States abroad. So we do get a question very often if the green card holders are eligible. Unfortunately, not. So keep that in mind. And then every award is unique and is different, so degree requirements are also different and experience requirements. You have to pay close attention whether PhD or other terminal degrees are required. We do have opportunities for master degree holders and also for independent professionals and artists. Teaching experience varies in every award, so you have to pay close attention if you're applying to teaching awards. And also for returning Fulbrighters, the policy is that you have to wait 2 years from your last Fulbright in order to be eligible for another Fulbright. This year, we're going to highlight a few changes in the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. Like we mentioned earlier, the program was established in 1946, so every year the program has evolved. So this year, we just launched the competition on Monday, and we have new opportunities. And the deadline is going to be September 15, 2020. So you have from now until September 15 to put together a strong application. And we have something new this year. It's only 2 letters of recommendations are required. So in order for you to be a strong applicant, you must have 2 letters of recommendations. And for those applying to the International Education Administrator Seminars, they do have a new statement of intent, which is replaced, statement of intent is replaced with question boxes, so you just need to fill those out. And then we do have the Fulbright Arctic Initiative new this year, returning this year. The deadline for this initiative is going to be in May, so stay tuned for more details on this as we receive them. And the award is for collaborative research within the Arctic Circle member countries. And the Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship is continuing again this year, and it is open to early career professionals, and I work directly with the hosting governments and the ministries in these 4 listed countries in Burma, Cote d'Ivoire, Peru, and Ukraine. The next slide, I'm going to take you on a virtual tour around the world. So we will take like a virtual trip, basically. And just to let you know, the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program offers 470 teaching, research, or combination of teaching and research opportunities in over 125 countries around the world. So all the world regions participate actively in the program. And we will learn in this presentation some of the preferences and priorities for each world region. And the other important thing to mention here also is that we have opportunities available for college and university faculty and administrators, as well as for independent professionals, artists, journalists, scientists, lawyers, etc. So in addition to several new program model designs to meet the changing needs of U.S. academics and professionals, we do offer also the flex option, which we cover later on. Moving on to the next slide. Thank you.
My name is Carleen Velez. I introduced myself on the first slide, and I wanted to talk today about East Asia and the Pacific region. If you look at the right of the slide, we have an email address where you can email any regional questions, and I will be the point person responding to your questions about East Asia and the Pacific. Today, I'm going to highlight some of the new features or new awards that we have in the region. Let's start with Australia. This year's catalog offers a new award to Australia called the Fulbright Scholar Award in Australia-United States Alliance Studies. This award allows for research and or professional projects in the priority fields of strategy studies, technology, and innovation, specifically with the relation to the Australian-United States Alliance. This is also focusing on the Fulbright future in Australia together with Australia. All of the awards to Australia are research awards. But this year, another interesting point is that some of them also allow for professional projects. So if you are a professional working in the industry, you are eligible for many of the professional project awards. All but a couple of the awards to Australia are partnered with a particular university, but there are a couple all disciplines awards that allow you to select your location. Moving on to awards to China, the awards to China have been streamlined, but they are offering the same number of awards. Their focus is recruiting applicants in the humanities, social sciences, and the arts. For applicants interested in awards to China, please know that we are monitoring the current situation carefully. The program to China is currently suspended, but the situation is still developing, and we will respond accordingly, keeping the safety of the scholars in mind. Moving on to Korea, the International Education Administrator Seminar is back after a one-year hiatus. I would also like to highlight the Peace Studies Award hosted by the Graduate Institute of Peace Studies at Kyunghee University. This is a wonderful opportunity to try to connect your specialty in peace studies with the situation in Korea. Moving on to postdoctoral candidates, we offer postdoctoral awards to Australia, China, and Taiwan in the East Asia and Pacific region. China and Taiwan postdocs are open to applicants in the humanities, social sciences, and the arts. Postdocs to Australia have discipline preferences that vary by award, so you would want to look at the award description for all of those details.
Thank you, Carlene. So, hi again, it's me, Aphrodita. I want to talk about Europe and Eurasia, which is the largest regional program within the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. And we do have diverse opportunities, and within the Europe and Eurasia team, we have Carlene Velez working with us and Kimberly Williams. So, we have a designated staff member for each award in Europe. You can contact us. The email is listed here, europeeurasia@iie.org. So Europe offers diverse opportunities for over 250 awards in 44 countries. So I would like to just point out some of the highlights in disciplines and priorities for each country. So as we mentioned earlier, the program is evolving, is very innovative. Like in Albania, we do have a new award in public administration, so that's their priority this year. And then it's a high-profile award to work at the Albanian School of Public Administration. Then in Czech Republic, we do have this new award for postdoc candidates. It's a research award. It is a research opportunity in all disciplines in some of the finest Czech Republic public universities and research centers. Finland also has a new award in called Seeking Solutions for Global Challenges Award, and it has the flex option, which we'll cover in a little bit, but they do have this award with the highlight in climate change, artificial intelligence, cybersecurity, and also cybersecurity is one of the priority disciplines for Europe and Eurasia, so you want to also check those opportunities. Moving on with Ireland, they are offering four new awards this cycle, and just highlighting one opportunity in medicine, clinical research design. So Poland is offering also additional an award at in humanities and social sciences at the Polish Institute of Advanced Studies, and then they do also offer new awards in distinguished chair categories. So this is for more senior level of scholars with a proven record of teaching and research. And then Slovak Republic is joining the trend in cybersecurity, in informatics, and information technologies. Spain, which is also one of the large countries in Europe and Eurasia that offers diverse opportunities, this year has also this new opportunity in biology and technology of reproduction at the Universidad de Murcia. So, this is all about Europe for now, and we'll touch base later again. Thank you.
Thank you, Aphrodita. This is Carlene again from the DC office, talking now about Middle East and North Africa. I do want to point out in the upper right corner, the Middle East North Africa at IIE.org email address will allow you to ask all of your questions about this region, and they will be answered by a specialist. I'll be working in this region, so please do feel free to send your questions my way. Highlighting some new and interesting awards in this region, I wanted to point out that Bahrain added a 10-month award in educational administration and teacher education. This award allows for teaching research or a teaching research combination in the area of education, linguistics, and TEFL. Moving on to Israel, Israel has several postdoctoral awards and awards for senior scholars. Many of these awards to Israel are associated with a particular institution. However, there are two all disciplines awards that allow you to select the institution. The most unique aspect of the postdoctoral awards to Israel is that they can be for one or even two academic years in duration. The Palestinian territories, or the West Bank, also has a new award this year in journalism and media for teaching and or a teaching research combination for journalists. This region is actively recruiting TEFL and applied linguistics applicants, and awards in these fields are available in Algeria, Jordan, the Palestinian territories, and connecting back up to Bahrain, who has this as one of their preferred disciplines. There's also a Middle East and North Africa Regional Research Program. This is a unique program that allows you to conduct research in two or more countries in this region. So if your research warrants trips to multiple countries in the region, this is an excellent award for you.
Okay, and then moving on to South and Central Asia. We have the largest offering coming from India. It continues to offer more than 50 grants. And specifically, the all disciplines, the generic all disciplines that's open to academics and professionals at all levels, now has added the grant activity of professional projects. So in addition to teaching and or research, applicants can propose a professional project that may not fit into strictly teaching or a strictly kind of research agenda. So for that particular award, that's the Fulbright Nehru Academic and Professional Excellence Award, there are 45 grants available. The Maldives has two grants, and again, they have also added the professional project. So you can either propose to teach at Maldivian National University or propose a professional project and be placed with a government ministry. So our colleagues overseas in Maldives would work actively to place you in a particular ministry that matches your specialization. Sri Lanka continues to offer three grants, and it is open to all disciplines. They are very keen, though, on bringing over applicants that have a background in nursing education or psychological counseling, TEFL. So there's just a few particular specializations they're interested in. They're mentioned in the award, but please note if you don't fit into these particular fields, it is open to all disciplines, and we encourage you to apply to Sri Lanka if you have an interest there. Something else that came back this year, we had it last year, was the Teaching English as a Foreign Language, the TEFL Award to Central Asia. So what's nice about this award is that the applicant gets to select, or rather rank, the country of preference. So the five Central Asian countries that we have listed there are available destinations. There are two grants available, and again, you can list which country is your preference. One of the benefits of being a grantee to South and Central Asia is that once you're in country, you can apply for some funding to travel to another country in the region to attend a conference or a workshop or to host a lecture. So that's what's called the Regional Travel Program. Again, that's an in-country benefit once you have the award. And another benefit I wanted to point out is the mid-year conference that takes place in India. Since India is the largest commission country that we have there, they have a large Fulbright Commission, they also host all scholars in February and March, if your grant aligns with those dates and if you're in the region, to join them for a mid-year conference and all of the other Fulbrighters in the region.
Hello again. My name is Kimberly Williams, and I am the point person for the Sub-Saharan Africa region. Should you have any questions, you can send them to the email address in the far right. I'd like to highlight some of the awards within the region. There is a focus on teaching and capacity building, hence the longer award duration of up to 10 months for most awards. Rwanda is seeking scholars in all disciplines with a specific interest in scholars with experience in higher education administration, arts, humanities, journalism, business, and STEM. Zambia is seeking scholars in business administration, communications, economics, engineering, information sciences, political science, and public administration to teach and engage in research at Mogadishu University. Zimbabwe has new awards this year seeking scholars in public health, computer science, public policy, and governance. The Africa Regional Research Awards allow scholars to conduct research in up to 3 sub-Saharan African countries. What's great about this award is that there is a flex option available to scholars who require multiple visits to the host country or countries to conduct their research.
Great, and now concluding with the Western Hemisphere, again, this is Michelle Balorchi, based in D.C. So I look after the awards to the Western Hemisphere, and starting out, we have the awards to Brazil. So there are several phenomenal opportunities with distinguished chair awards and an array of, you know, various fields, from international relations to legal theory, public policy, neuroscience, and U.S. studies. So Brazil has a very robust offering of distinguished chair awards. They are the most prestigious awards in the catalog, and typically associate or full professor status is required, as well as a robust publication record. Canada has several awards available, and what's interesting about these awards is that they have partnered actively with almost 20 universities across the country to offer 45 grants in various disciplines. And so while a letter of invitation is not required at the time of application, it is important that you indicate a country, university of preference. And so each of the awards lists which university specializes in a particular field and where you might be a good match. Columbia continues to expand its offerings. In addition to their All Disciplines Award, which offers 16 spots, they have a distinguished chair in biodiversity and sustainable development at their national university. This is, again, a prestigious award in Colombia, and there's a total of 17 grants to the country. Mexico continues to also offer several awards. You can see the preferences really in TESOL and U.S. studies, but there's a huge push for also science and technology, so STEM in general. They offer a postdoc award, and one of the most unique awards, I would say, in the catalog is the Border Scholars Award, which is open to scholars based in the bordering states along the border, the U.S.-Mexico border, to have kind of a residency at a university along the border while continuing their teaching and research agenda at their home university. So this is an interesting award. If you have any questions about it, please reach out to me or look at the award description for some more information. Uruguay has, in addition to the All Disciplines Award, an award focused on agriculture, and they have identified 2 top institutes of research in agriculture where the grantee would be placed and collaborating with researchers there. And then we have our last award that I wanted to feature for the Western Hemisphere, which is our multi-country grant called the Carlos Rico Award. The grantee would spend equal amounts of time in Canada and Mexico engaging in collaborative research with scholars in both countries. So again, this is a wonderful opportunity. If you have a project that requires visiting Canada and Mexico, really focusing on North America, this would be a great option for you. And then last but not least, one of the benefits of being a grantee in the Western Hemisphere, similar to the other regions, there is a regional travel program that allows the grantee, once they're in country, to travel elsewhere for a workshop or a conference or to host a lecture themselves. So lots of great things going on with Fulbright this year. So many awards available, 800 spots, over 450 awards. So do please reach out if you have any questions. And the next slide is on the multi-country opportunities, which we do want to highlight because there are so many. And this is one of the innovative things that we've done with the program is we've identified that we recognize that scholars, oftentimes their work goes beyond borders and requires collaboration with scholars across regions or around the world. And so we've developed the following awards that are featured here. So the first one, as Aphrodita mentioned, was the Arctic Initiative, and this is a reoccurring award. I believe it's the third cohort now that we're seeking, and this is open to all of the Arctic Circle member countries to undertake collaborative research relating to Arctic issues. So this award will be launching next week, and the deadline is in May. There will be more details next week once we launch, but we wanted to spotlight this because this is something that's unique and allows for really kind of a wonderful opportunity to engage with scholars around the world. The Global Scholar Award is a unique feature. Again, it's an award in our catalog that allows grantees to visit 2 to 3 countries across 2 to 3 world regions. It is, however, the most competitive award in the catalog because of the popularity, we advise you if you're unsure whether you're project would be suitable for a global award. We're happy to advise you on that. And if you feel that one country stands out more in terms of the project's purpose, we encourage you to apply for a single country grant. But if you do have a project that's global in nature that requires you visiting, let's say, the UK and England, for example, India, for example, so 2 countries across 2 regions, that would be suitable. And then the regional awards, we've got several of those. In the East Asia Pacific region, there's the ASEAN Research Award. That's the Association of Southeast Asia Nations, and that's geared towards projects that are really addressing those core issues of ASEAN's regional initiatives. We have the Cross-Strait Studies Award with China and Taiwan. The EU Schuman Awards, there's several of those, allowing you to focus on EU affairs and innovative issues. Then, of course, the Africa Regional Research, the South and Central Asia Regional Research, and the Middle East and North Africa Regional Research Awards. The Carlos Rico that I mentioned earlier, Canada and Mexico, as well as some unique awards that Spain has partnered with, so the Morocco-Spain Joint Teaching Award and the Spain-Greece Joint Teaching and Research Award. So if you are in the catalog, and we'll be showing you that shortly, you'll be able to do a filter and search just for multi-country award options. So on that note, let's turn it over to Carlene, who's going to give us a walkthrough of the website and the catalog.
Okay, hopefully by now you've all had the opportunity to look at the catalog, but if not, we are going to do so together right now. I'd like to point out some special features of the catalog, so I'm going to be moving the window over to my web browser. Okay, when you go to the webpage CIES.org, you will see the launch of the Fulbright Scholar Competition. And from here, you can browse the catalog of awards. So when you click on the catalog of awards, it brings you over to this page that says Welcome to the Catalog of Awards. This page is extremely helpful as a way to get started. You can search by region, including the regions that we just went through today with our unique and new opportunities. You can search by country, or you can search by discipline. If you are not sure where you want to go, searching by discipline might get you started, and then you can narrow it down by country. But you can also just click on Search All Awards, and it will bring you to the awards catalog. I will often use this so that I can receive these advanced search features that help me narrow down what it is I'm trying to do. So for today, I'm going to review a country in Finland with you that is one of our new awards, just to show you what type of information you can find in the awards catalog. So I'm going to scroll down and bring up the Seeking Solutions for Global Challenges Award. When you are on this award, I want to point out that there are four tabs, each that contain very important information. The first tab, the award details, gives you a little bit about the vision or the goal of the award. So this award, Seeking Solutions for Global Challenges, they define what their definition is of this and what some of the goals of this award are, the goals of the award are. You can also scroll down and look at the primary focus areas that they are keeping in mind when they're trying to promote this award. You can see that it is not limited to these specific areas, but they are actually requesting that you take these into account. If you have something else that's different and innovative, they still will consider this. These listings right here are more like a wish list that they have in this award. Also in the first page right here, you can see the length of the award, 2 to 6 months, and also that you have the Flex Grant as an option. It talks about the preferred grant dates. This is really important if you have a sabbatical that might be one semester or the other. You do want to make sure to find an award that has grant dates that match up with the dates that you might be on sabbatical. Also, you can find down here the locations. In this case, any appropriate Finnish higher education institution, research center, or other applicable institution is sufficient. But if you have any questions about that, please contact us. We do try to make sure that if there is a specific location attached to a specific award, it's listed there so that there is no confusion. If you scroll down further, the flex option is that option that allows you, remember, to come back multiple visits to complete your project. So maybe you're doing longitudinal study and you'd like to carry your grant out over 1 or 2 years. You can do that. But each flex grant has slightly different parameters, so you would look at the parameters that are listed here on the web page. And then at the bottom, they talk about what disciplines are acceptable for this award. So as you can see, the award details is packed full of information. If you look at the right side of the award, you also will be able to find the appropriate activity that is available for that award. Remember, some awards are research only, some are teaching only, some are a combination of teaching and research, and some are offering this professional project option, which is geared toward professionals in the field. You can also find the degree requirements here, the candidate profiles who are acceptable, and the number of grants and a contact for the award in case you have any questions. I do want to point out that in this candidate profile area, we have tried as hard as possible to talk about awards that are open to academics. Some require a PhD and some do not require a PhD. So if you are a professional but do not have a PhD, there are still many awards in the catalog for which you are eligible. The next tab, the award requirement, this is a really important tab for a couple reasons. First, it talks about a letter of invitation and whether that's required or not. And if it is required, what details are associated with that. It also talks about your language proficiency requirement. And that is important in case you need to register an outside evaluator. You can go through and find also details about the applicant profile and applicant information. This is extremely helpful because in some awards, this one as a case in point, you can actually reach out for assistance as you're going to apply for the award. So if there is contact information listed here, a phone number or an email address, that will help you as you're applying for the award. The third tab, the stipend and benefits, this is important to find out how much you would be receiving each month, what the travel allowance would be, whether or not you have dependent tuition allowance. That's listed here as well as some other special award benefits. The final tab is the country and area overview. This situates you, gives you a little bit of an idea about what living in that country would be like. And many countries, including this one, have links to other universities or different websites that educate you on their country so that you have a little bit of an idea about what to expect if you do apply for an award in this country. The final thing I want to point out is that you can begin the application process here. So if you click on this button, it takes you back to the website that allows you to do a couple key things. The first thing is to register your interest. We have a program called My Fulbright, which is for applicants hoping to receive a Fulbright. You can register your interest in a specific country or by discipline, and you will receive targeted emails about news and updates related to your country of preference, region of preference, or discipline of preference. You can also download our eligibility and application checklist. Coming next week, or by February 14th, you'll be able to download the application instructions and actually begin your application at this point. So this is a little bit about the website. I wanted to point out some of those key features. You can go through and confirm eligibility, look at the review criteria, the timeline here as well. I won't go through all of that right now, but I did want you to know at least how to get started searching through awards and help you understand what types of information you'll find on each of the awards. Finally, the application cycle. The most important thing that you need to remember is that September 15th is the actual application deadline. So by September 15th, all of your materials and your letters of recommendation must be submitted. That's a firm cutoff for all of the materials, so please be conscious of that when you are asking your recommenders to recommend you. The good thing is, as Aphrodita mentioned at the beginning, you need only 2 letters of recommendation this year instead of 3, so that'll be helpful. And then as you can see, throughout October and November, your application goes through peer review. If it makes it through peer review, then it gets sent on to the country. And then notifications of final approval come between January and April. It's a long window, but because they have so many different approvals that they have to go through before they are awarded, it takes a while at some point. But I do want you guys to know that this information as well is posted online. If you have any questions about it, please feel free to contact us. And finally, before we go into the question and answer portion, I do want to encourage you first to join My Fulbright. Again, that's the place where you register your interest so you can receive targeted emails. You can also join us on social media. We have all of our social media handles listed here. And the website, this PowerPoint will be posted on our website after the presentation. Please know that the links will be active. And so if you have any colleagues you think would also like to hear about the program, please click on that link to refer your colleagues. In less than a minute, you can enter in their information, and then we can reach out to them to give them some information about our program if you think they would be a good fit for our program. Okay, with that, we'd like to go and take some questions and answers from the audience. Okay, so I have one question right here, and I'll bring this one over to you, Michelle. Is the research agenda based solely on the scholar's interest, or is it based on what the host institution needs?
That's a great question. Actually, it really depends on the award that you're interested in, that you're thinking about applying to. So there are several awards in the catalog that are hosted awards, so they're partnered with the Fulbright program. So let's say Fulbright University of Manchester, right, or Fulbright University of Newcastle. So those universities are sometimes cost-sharing with the program, and so they might list specific areas of interest or departments or centers where the scholar will be placed, things like that. And in order to apply to those awards, you would need a letter of invitation. So most partnership awards require an invitation. So you need to be cognizant of their needs as well, and so the best way to approach this is seeking out an award that matches the award requirements that closely align with your projects and what you'd like to do while there, And that would be the best way to not only gain interest from the host institution, but also get a strong letter of invitation. Now, if it's an award that does not require a letter of invitation, one way of being competitive is really addressing not only the host institution's interests and needs, but also proposing a project that's relevant to the host country in general. So certainly being aware of what can make your application competitive, the timeliness of your project, the relevance to the host country. As we mentioned early on, a lot of the awards in the catalog are co-funded by the host institutions or the host countries. This Fulbright program continues to grow because we have a huge investment from our partners overseas. And so it really is key for you to highlight how, you know, the impact, what the impact will be, and how suitable your award, your project is to the award in that country.
Thank you, Michelle. Okay, Aphrodite, I have a question for you. Would an EDD be acceptable for a doctorate? And then another eligibility question, I thought you could address them both at the same time. Are retired faculty eligible? So first is about EDD and the second about retired faculty. Can you address that one, please, Aphrodite?
Sure, yes. EDD is considered as a terminal degree, so it would be accepted. I mean, again, we need to check about the availability of the discipline in the hosting country, if they offer this discipline and if they're looking for applicants in this discipline. And the other question about the retired faculty, yes, there are opportunities for more senior level of scholars and even retired scholars, but you just need to focus on the benefits upon returning to the U.S. Who is going to benefit from your experience in the Fulbright program? So basically, who is the audience that you're going to share your knowledge that you gained in the Fulbright program, and then especially if you're continuing to teach or doing research, etc.
Thank you, Aphrodite. Okay, the next question also has to do with eligibility. Somebody said, is there preference given to those people who have not received a Fulbright award? Are you at a disadvantage if you have not received an award previously? Okay. Kimberly.
Hi, you are not at a disadvantage if you have not previously received an award. In some cases, preference is given for applicants who have not received an award or applicants who have not had specific travel to the region.
The one thing to keep in mind with prior Fulbright awards is that there is a 2-year waiting period from the time you complete your award until the application deadline of the current cycle. Since our application deadline is September 15th, 2020, you have to have completed a prior Fulbright before September 15th, 2018 in order to be eligible for this cycle. Okay, there's another question. Is there an advantage to submitting an application early, kind of like a first-come, first-served type platform? Michelle.
No, there isn't an advantage in terms of how your application is evaluated, but certainly if you submit before the deadline, you won't be dealing with all the stress of, you know, worrying about everything, if there's going to be a tech issue on the last day at the deadline. So we encourage you to take as much time as you need. You've got 7.5 months to put an application together. The deadline is the 15th of September. We start evaluating applications the day after. So on September 16, that's when we start doing the technical review. So we will not start to review applications until after the deadline. So please do take the time you need to ensure that your application is the most competitive it can be and is complete with letters of recommendation and also host invitation letters if those are applicable.
Thank you, Michelle. There is a question about discussing obtaining a letter of invitation. For this particular question, we have some information on our website. One thing that we often encourage people to do is to reach out to their networks or to go to the Fulbright Scholar Alumni Directory on our website to see if they can possibly use that to make connections with people at possible host institutions or U.S. scholars who might have visited the institution that you are interested in. They can be a tremendous help in obtaining the letter of invitation. But above and beyond that, I do encourage you to attend the regional webinar that we are hosting, because there might be some more specific details about the region that you are interested in going to. Okay, the next question. Can we search for teaching only Fulbright?
Yes, you can. What you would do on the search page, you can filter it out to search for teaching only awards. You can also filter it out to search for research and teaching or solely research.
Okay, thank you. You guys have a lot of really good questions here. Someone mentioned that there was no mention of Japan. The reason that some countries have not been mentioned is because the awards are the same as last year. So what we were really doing today is highlighting those awards that were different. If you are interested in learning more about the awards to Japan, please join us for the East Asia and the Pacific Award, where we will go through a lot of details about the awards to Japan, whether they are for professionals, professional projects, teaching, research, et cetera. So again, please join us for that webinar on East Asia and the Pacific. The next question, is there an age bracket for applying for the English Teaching Assistance Award? Michelle.
Okay, so I believe that question is geared towards the Fulbright student program. So if you have recently completed your bachelor's degree or are an early career professional that without a master's degree, the student program, Fulbright student program, would be a good fit for you. The English Teaching Assistant award type is an award part, you know, it's part of the Fulbright student program. And so I am not aware of any particular age bracket, but certainly you would want to check the website and the award details. Some countries might have different preferences. I know in general the trend with the Fulbright student program has been to seek out ETAs that have some kind of teaching experience.
Okay, the next question is about when are the regional webinars or where can I find the information on the website? If you go over to the website, the first one right here, CIES.org, and scroll down to the bottom, over here you can see a listing of all of the webinars at the bottom. So if you click that webinar, that's where you found this one. Excuse me, sorry, I went to the wrong one. But we have a list of all of our upcoming webinars. You can see the dates of the regional webinars. You can also see our archived webinars. And please know that if you cannot make a webinar, we will archive it right afterward. I encourage you to register, because if you register and are unable to make it, then you will get a link when the webinar is, or an email when the webinar is posted. So please join us for the regional webinars. It's the best place to ask any region-specific questions. Okay, the next one. What are the considerations for recommendation letters for a visiting professorship? So this program is not part of the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, which is a program that is taking U.S. scholars and sending them outbound. So we would need to have you email us, and we can put you in contact with the correct department who can answer that question for you.
For just to add, Carlene, if I may, for the visiting professorship, for the visiting Fulbright program, they can also check with the U.S. embassies or the Fulbright commissions. So that's where the application starts for these international Fulbrighters who are interested to apply to a Fulbright program to come to the U.S.
Thank you, Aphrodita. Okay. Is there any advantage to submitting more than two letters of recommendation, and assuming they are all relevant? Aphrodita, can you answer that one, please?
Sure. Thanks, Carlene. So basically, two letters are required, and the system will let you only upload two letters of recommendations. and therefore make sure you choose the right recommenders to write strong recommendation letters. And when you get those two recommendations in, that would be sufficient, and your application, considering you will have other components also complete, but only two are required, and the system will let you submit only two.
Thank you. We have another question. I see some research awards, such as in Spain, that are awards for senior teaching research or junior research. What determines the criteria for senior versus junior? I think the same question can apply to distinguished chair versus an all disciplines award. So I'll let Michelle answer this one.
Sure. So oftentimes it really depends on the award and what is outlined in the award description. Keep in mind that the catalog of awards is a collaborative project with IIE and all of our partners abroad. And so really the content comes from the U.S. embassies and the Fulbright commissions that administer the program abroad and that are generating these award descriptions. So essentially for Spain, and I know it's the same is true for Italy, they have some junior and senior distinctions. It might be how many years of teaching experience you have, or how many years ago you received your PhD or your terminal degree. So check the award description, because again, what Spain considers a junior researcher might not be the case for Italy. So you'll hear us say it a lot, but sometimes the answer is it really depends on the award description.
Okay, I have another question from a Fulbright specialist. So if someone is on the Fulbright specialist list with their tenure ending in February, can they apply for the Fulbright scholar list? The answer is yes to that. The Fulbright specialist program and the Fulbright scholar program, even though they're both Fulbright programs, are considered different programs. You can be on the specialist list and receive a specialist award and a Fulbright scholar award at the same time, as long as the dates do not overlap. That's the key differentiation between those two awards. Okay, then the next question, where can I get a list of universities in a foreign country that have hosted Fulbright scholars before?
If you're on the CIES.org page, you can use the search box to input Fulbright scholar directory. When you're at the directory, you can search by discipline, specialization. You can also go to the advanced filters, and you can search by program country or home institution state.
Okay, the next question is, who writes the letters of recommendation now that there are only two? Michelle, can you address that, please?
Sure. So we have guidance online on our website about who you should reach out to. It also depends on whether you're doing a teaching award or a strictly research award. If there's teaching involved in your proposal, certainly one letter should come from someone who has evaluated your teaching and who perhaps the chair of the department. If it's a research award, ideally one letter would come from your home institution, and then another would be from a colleague from another institution. So please do check our guidance there, but certainly for teaching award, we do need to have a letter of someone who's evaluated your teaching.
Thank you, Michelle. We have another question. What are the most suitable grants or opportunities available in this cycle for applicants who wish to conduct their work in the summer months? That's a really difficult question, because the Fulbright Scholar Program is an international exchange program, and the international exchanges primarily go on during the academic year. And so finding an award that is available for summer only can be extremely difficult. I would encourage you, if you have a question, to reach out to a person in the region to see if they can help you locate one, but they are very, very limited in our awards catalog, unless the country to which you're applying happens to be teaching over what are technically our summer months. So I would say that the vast majority of the awards occur during the academic year. Okay, let me scroll through. There are a lot of questions here about specific countries, Nepal or Iceland or Ireland. I am going to encourage you to attend one of the regional seminars so that the regional webinars so that we can address them at that point, or contact us using the regional email boxes. We're trying to address the most general questions now just so that we can reach as many people as possible. The same applies if you have a question about your specific candidate profile, am I eligible? We often get questions like that, and if you do send us a question about whether you're eligible, please include your CV because that will help us determine eligibility for you for the awards. Okay, back to letters of recommendation again. There is a question, does one letter of recommendation still have to be from someone outside of your current university? Michelle?
Sure. So the updated guidance indicates that one should come from outside of your home institution, but if that isn't possible, then we would be able to take two, I believe, from your home institution, but it's really just to show the breadth of your connections and have different perspectives from colleagues. So again, if it's not possible or if the person that was responsible for collaborating with you at your previous institution is no longer there, just write to us and we can guide you better.
Okay, we have time for one or two more questions. So, Aphrodita, I'll give this question to you. Can you apply for more than one award? For example, two awards that are each 2 to 6 months long?
Yeah, thank you, Carleen. So you can apply to only one award per application cycle unless you're considering like a multi-country or multi-regional award or the global award. So, but that would still be considered one award. So technically you can apply to only one award and during the competition cycle.
Thank you, Aphrodita. Since our time is ending, what I would like to do is to encourage you guys to, again, reach out to us if you have additional questions or if you posted questions that we are not able to answer. Please do keep in mind that we have two primary programs that we host for United States citizens, the U.S. Scholar Program, which is what we're talking about now. This is for people with terminal degrees, again, or PhDs and above. If you have a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, or anything pre-PhD that is not a terminal degree, then you would want to look into the Fulbright Student Program, which is a different program than our own. We are really excited to work with you. We have so many exciting awards this year, so please don't hesitate to reach out to us if you have questions about the Fulbright U.S. Scholarship Program, your eligibility, or any other questions that come up. Thank you very much for joining us, and have a great day.